Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Well, let's just go young corners here for this exercise. Get rid of Slay. Obviously, we know Slay is where he is. Go Rogers, Ringo, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, and I guess that would be it.
Well, if you do it on just performance in the spring, Rogers, as I said, has been the Eagles' best player in the spring. So he would have to be number one.
Welcome in, Birds fans. Welcome in, Eagles Nation, to another Thursday edition of Birds 365, coming off day two of Eagles minicamp. Moving into day three today. Johnny Mac was down there yesterday. Good morning to all of our people in the chat. Good morning to anybody listening to us on the podcast. We appreciate you all being here. Make sure you drop a like, leave a review on the podcast. Johnny Mac, good Thursday morning to you, sir. How you doing this morning?
Doing well. School's out for the summer. Last day of school today. Last day of minicamp.
Is that
camp.
What it is? Is that just in Jersey?
No, that's the Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't know what school.
I was going to say, I'm like, Johnny Mac, is there something I don't know here?
Last day of school for the Eagles. I got to make it clear. And then they're off for summer vacation. So last day of spring work. And yeah, everybody's going to be excited. Jetting out of South Philadelphia as quickly as possible when they are released this afternoon.
Yep, so pretty good stuff. Good stuff so far. A lot came out from yesterday's practice. Some interesting stuff from Brandon Graham, veteran player, following up on your question. I thought we'll get into that a little bit. We have Bob Brook over in hour number two and an open hour one. So Johnny Mac and I are going to dive deep into the mini camp practices, what he's seen so far, and what more he's going to expect from today. So we will get into it. John, day two yesterday, what were your first takeaways, your biggest takeaways on the day two?
Well, we're beating a dead horse, but nothing splashy from the offense. Defense continued to play well. The cornerback, I think the cornerback position opposite Darius Slay has been the story of the spring. And it's been a positive story because everybody they throw out there seems to play well, make some plays, look good. Yesterday it was back to Isaiah Rogers. They sort of flip-flopped the day before. It was Kaylee Ringo, but Ringo got some first-team reps as well, and even Quinyon Mitchell. So they're ramping everybody up, and they're all playing well. So it looks like they're going to be much better equipped, not only at the starting position, but for depth purposes as well, because we saw what injuries did to the Eagles at the cornerback position and all the moving parts. So they've corrected that seemingly. very young players. I don't want to put a period on that. I do expect some hiccups, but it's been very, very impressive. I would say that. And then the offense is just, you know, I'm waiting for the offensive line, to be honest, because I think that's when the Eagles offense will take off, because they're so good. They're so dominant. And right now it's a passing camp. It's not their time. And it kind of evens the playing field a little bit. So I think when you take that out of the equation and you have a new offense and all the learning curve and all that kind of stuff, I think that explains some of the offensive struggles. But can't lie to people. They've been struggling offensively. And, you know, if you're happy about the defense and hearing all the good things about the defense, you can't have it both ways, right? So,
John, is it more the defense is playing great or the offense is just flat out struggling and part of that is making the defense look better?
Well, I think it's a combination of column A and column B. I think the defense is going to be better. I've said that the minute Vic Fangio got here, I thought it was going to be better just from the standpoint. You mentioned Brandon a little bit, but just from the belief factor, like nobody questions Vic Fangio. I say the same. It's amazing to me. He does the same stuff that Sean Desai did. And everybody's like, yeah, all right, no problem. And Sean did it. And by that, I mean, it's not normal. And I talked about this with, I forget who it was. One of the players yesterday, I'll figure it out in the break, getting dementia in my old age. But it's not typical for a defensive coordinator to throw a lot at the players early. You generally build incrementally. And Vic said right off the bat, I like to throw a lot. I like to throw a lot at the players and see what they can handle and then sort of whittle it down from there. I think it was Devin White who I talked about that with. But and Sean did that. And I remember in training camp, all the questions, we talked about it on this show and all the stuff. And we're not going to talk about it this summer. I can't predict the future, but I can predict that because Vic's got that reputation, that cachet. Nobody's going to question him. Everybody's looking, what is Sean Desai doing? You know, putting James Bradberry in the slot, using guys all around. He was doing the same thing he was taught from Vic Fangio. But it's a big difference when you have that experience and you have that resume and people have this trust in you versus what they don't have trust in you. And they question basically everything. And that's sort of what the difference is on the defense.
It's amazing what cachet will do in the NFL. But it makes sense. I mean, this is a league of grown men, the best athletes in the world. I mean, you know, when you're a coach who's been around for 40 years, by default, you have more respect and cachet goes a long way, even in this situation you're explaining where it's the tale of two coaches. They're doing basically the same thing, but everybody loves it or is accepting of it on one hand and everybody.
And the young guy and Sean, I mean, he literally learned directly from Vic Fangio. He was doing what Vic taught him. Now, I'm not trying to say Sean Desai is the same as Vic Fangio because I think that experience plays in the game day and all that kind of stuff and decision-making and all that. But as far as the structure of how he did things, and that's where I think the questioning started, he's literally doing the same thing Vic is doing. And nobody has a problem with it this year. Nobody. In fact, they love it. And they got a bunch of young players on top of it. They're younger this year than they were last year.
They're younger.
It's interesting. It's an interesting study in human nature, to be honest.
Yeah, so it's all defense right now through minicamp. So pretty good stuff for the Eagles. I'm not ready to be concerned about the offense. I will say it's a little, you know, when are we going to have a good day?
There's only one day left.
I'm not going to over exaggerate it, but it's kind of troubling, I would say, that they can't complete a good pass or have a big play in a camp like this where you're in helmets and shorts and you're set up to be a passing, you know, a passing camp, as we've called it. But again, I digress. Let's stick on the defense for a little. We just talked a lot about Vic Fangio. John, I was excited to hear that Cooper DeJean was getting some reps in the first team defense, like up against first team offense, made some plays, looked pretty good. Tell me a little bit about what you saw from Cooper DeJean and also Tremaine Mitchell.
He should have had an interception on Jalen Hurts as well. Undercut a short route to AJ Brown and just dropped it. So yeah, I mean Cooper's playing well. They're getting him involved in the first team nickel. It's interesting. They rotated Tyler Hall in as well with some first team nickel snaps. So they're trying out a bunch of guys to make sure what happened last year doesn't happen this year. And after Avante and to a certain extent, even before Avante with Zach McPherson, but when he got hurt the preseason, they were just a revolving door and a mess in the slot. So they're doing everything, and they seem much better equipped to handle things in case there's adversity in the secondary this year. But he's playing well. And Quinyon, it's interesting. I'm so excited personally as a prospect for Kaylee Ringo, which I've talked about a lot on this show. Isaiah Rogers has been tremendous, arguably the best player in the spring for the Eagles. And I still think Quinyon Mitchell is going to be there week one because he's played well too. And that's where they want to go, and that's the long-term answer. And he's doing nothing to make you think he can't handle it. So he's playing well. It's been impressive from and remember, these guys are generally against AJ Brown and in the minicamp Devontae Smith. So
yeah, right.
That factors in. And when you say they can't get a big reset, they had a dig route that went 20, 25 yards to AJ. They had a corner to Dallas that went 20 plus. So I mean there's little pockets of AJ always makes plays. Dallas is always open, it seems. So there's little pockets where you see the talent shine. But overall, it's been very, very inconsistent to be nice.
Yeah, so we're going to stay on the defensive backs here. I want to welcome everybody in this morning, Prince and Twiz and Christopher, BMO, Daz, Slagger, James Carver. We appreciate each and every one of you guys for being here. Anybody I missed, we do appreciate. Christopher Baker, welcome in, man. So we appreciate all your guys' viewership. You guys have been great all week long, all summer long. And we'll be doing shows for you guys all the way up through the offseason, into training camp, and into the NFL season as we all patiently await for the 2024 Eagles to get back on the field. John, Eagles got to be excited, man, about these young cornerbacks. I know it's not too much yet. I understand that. But from what you've seen so far, from what the team has seen, from what the front office has seen, they got to be excited. I mean, Isaiah Rogers is playing well. Quinyon Mitchell appears to be looking pretty good. Kelee Ringo stepping up. Cooper DeJean getting out some first-team reps and making some plays. Apparently, C.J. Gardner-Johnson is out there being very vocal. They got to be excited. It seems like they got a whole different feel back there. And I'm not there. I'm not in the room. But I talk to you every day for 2 hours. You know, I read the reports. I read your articles. I read some other people's articles. I read Bleeding Green Nation with Brandon Lee Gowton. It seems like they should be excited about this young backfield. I mean, it's something that we harped on so much, especially last year when it just felt like we were weak. We were weak on the back end. We were weak defensively completely. And I'm not getting that feeling right now. I know it's early. I full disclosure, I understand that. But got to be excited, right, the Eagles?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, especially about the young corners. And that's, I mean, they took one at 22 overall. They took one at 40 overall. So you're getting high-level talent from a rookie perspective. And then Howie, you know, when we did talk to Isaiah Rogers, we did confirm with him, like, nobody else called him. The Eagles were the only team who said, yeah, we'll wait. You know, he's got talent. He's played well.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay. I think a lot of people, they didn't have to pay him. The contract tolls during the suspension. So you essentially just signed him to a one-year, $1 million deal.
Holding deal.
And it was held in a stasis until it started. Winning outside the margins again there. He's certainly an NFL player. And nobody else even thinks that way in this league. It's astonishing. They're like, well, we'll make that decision when it's time to make that decision, when he gets reinstated. That's the way everybody else thinks.
Yeah, Howie's just a couple steps ahead, man. He really is. I mean, you can say there's criticisms of him. I get it. There's certain knocks that he could take, but he is, I don't even want to say one step ahead. He's 3 to 5 steps ahead of everybody else all the time. It doesn't matter what it is, the draft, the 20th pick, the trade market, Isaiah Rodgers. It's pretty incredible. We're lucky to have a GM that's that proactive and that is that, you know, ahead of the game and doing his job constantly and at a high level. It's you know, that's the reason we have so much talent on this team.
Yeah, and look, I mean, he deserves a lot of credit for that kind of stuff and being ahead of the game. And a lot of other people contribute to it.
Yeah, I'm not, but he is the head of the horse.
Yeah. And you know, with a guy like it's amazing to me that nobody else said, all right, because there's so many cornerback deficient teams in this league. If you look around, so many teams need cornerbacks. Because it's a passing game and everybody's throwing the ball all over the place. You see the receivers coming in. You see all the great receivers getting big-time contracts over recent days. Justin Jefferson resetting the market as number one. But every year it seems like now, because when we talk about passing camp, that trickles all the way down to college and even high school. Nobody's allowed to practice actual football during the off season anymore. So all they practice is these passing camps. And I mentioned it with some local kids from, you know, the kid from Roman Catholic I talked about a couple weeks ago, and how advanced they are at this stage compared to what they used to be. And the wide receivers, every year it seems like there's a boatload of wide receivers coming into the NFL that are so much more advanced than they used to be. Because that's all they do in the off season. So there's so many, and by nature of that, you need cornerbacks and you need guys who can cover on the other side of the football. And that's why things have shifted so dramatically in that direction. And we talk about positionless players, and we talk about dime packages. You know, Quinion Mitchell's playing linebacker in camp. There's another example. If Sean Desai had Quinion Mitchell out there playing linebacker, they don't even blink an eye. It's like, oh, that's interesting. But I digress. Getting all those coverage players on the field. And that's what you're trying to do to slow down these high-powered passing offenses. And the Eagles got a they saw what happened last year and they made the correction, and bring in a bunch of people. And you know, the Rodgers one is when he told us, "Hey, nobody else called." I just shook my head. I'm like, how is that even possible? Because if the Eagles would have waited like everybody else, they would have been fighting with 10, 12 teams to get them. And I got them. Yeah. Just sit, wait. You know, there's some gambling and the fact that you don't know how he's going to handle the opt-out. And he's suspended to begin with.
It's such a low risk move, though. Like, even if the worst case scenario happens,
it's a million bucks.
I mean, you brush it right off. You know, John, I'm going to go to this question from Christopher Baker as we talk here on these cornerbacks. And, you know, I don't know if you're able to do exactly what he's asking, but I was going to ask you, it's really early, but you're seeing a lot of corners. Would you have an early projection on what you might how you might think this cornerback room might shake out. To me, it just seems like it's the decision for Howie's getting harder and harder. Christopher Baker says, can John rank the young corners based on performance so far? Just curious. Thank you for checking in, Christopher Baker.
Well, it's there. I mean, if you're talking about the roster.
Well, let's just go young corners here for this exercise. Get rid of Slay. Obviously, we know Slay is where he is. Go Rodgers, Ringo, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, and I guess that would be it.
Well, if you do it on just performance in the spring, Rodgers, as I said, has been the Eagles' best player in the spring. So he would have to be number one. But if you're talking about upside, you know, would be Quinyon number one, Cooper number two, Ringo number three, Rodgers number four. That's sort of where the Eagles are, and that's pretty good.
I thought Ringo would be higher in that, just because to me, Ringo really does strike me as a first round talent. He left college early. A lot of people debated he.
Yeah, well, personally, I would have Ringo first. I talk about it all the time on this show and Football 24/7.
Yeah,
I'm very high on Kelee Ringo, and
you have been for a long time, but long before I was doing this show, you were high on Kelee Ringo.
Yeah, and if he stayed in college one more year, he probably would have been a first round pick. You never know what's going to happen. He might get hurt, something might happen, but
yeah, right.
The way he was playing at Georgia, if he played another year at Georgia, because you know Georgia's going to be good, he probably would have been a first round pick.
Yeah, they could have used him last year.
Yeah, so. A lot of it is that, but they have a lot of young talent at cornerback, and we don't even talk about Eli Ricks anymore. Now he's kind of buried, which is he's an NFL player. He kind of proved that last year in limited time and tough duty, as Jonathan Gannon would call it. You know, playing out of position, and he's got natural coverage skills. Mekhi Gardner was a guy who had a really good training camp. They moved him to safety because they have too many corners. Josh Jobe, we don't talk about. He's their best special teams player.
Yeah,
I don't know how
they might try and sneak into the roster because of that. You know, if that back guy is not getting much playing time anyway, you want somebody there that can be competent on special teams, especially with some of the changes. You know, I think they might try and find a spot for Jobe, but is Eli Ricks going to be the unintended consequence of these, you know, young guys stepping up like crazy? I just don't know how, you know.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, I don't see him getting on the field this year unless there's multiple injuries. And, you know, more concerned is finding a spot for him on the roster because he's not the best special teams player either. So where do you fall on that? Last year, like the reason I lost the 53-man roster pool is because Mekhi Gardner outplayed Eli Ricks in practice consistently. And he's a much better special teams player. So I thought, well, you know, if you're going to be fair here, if this is a meritocracy, Gardner deserves to make the football team. Now, ultimately, I said at the end of the day, it doesn't matter because they'll get both of them through waivers and they'll be able to put the other one on the practice squad. And the Eagles decided that because of the interception in Baltimore in the preseason, the pick six, if everybody remembers, you know, and I kind of sometimes I give NFL teams too much credit because that was against a fourth team quarterback and it was telegraphed, you know, it wasn't really that impressive of a play. And I said, but there are a lot of dumb teams in the NFL, as I just brought up with Isaiah Rodgers. I just saw an interview with Kristen.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big.
Hackenberg, the old Penn State quarterback. Yeah. He was here with the Eagles for a little bit in the preseason. Good guy. He was on with Ross Tucker, and he was talking about the Jets and just, you know, how bad they never have a plan as a young quarterback. He's like, he didn't get a chance to develop, and they just don't have a plan. They never have a plan. And they seem to be getting a little bit better since Joe got there, and we'll see with Aaron Rodgers. But there's a lot of teams like that. And sometimes even I give them, well, they're not dumb. They're not going to put a big influence on a pick six in Baltimore that's telegraphed from a guy who's going to be delivering UPS packages in a week. But from the Eagles' perspective, they were like, it flashed on film. And remember, and they're right, because I asked this question behind the scenes, and they're right. And they said, they don't get to see practice, the other teams. They don't get to see Eagles practice. So they don't know Mekhi Gardner was out playing. All they see is the film, and they see a guy, oh, he's got pretty good coverage skills. And we'll never know if the Eagles could have gotten Eli Ricks through waivers. I think they could have, but their deciding point was there's a better chance to get Gardner through waivers than Ricks. So right. They kept Ricks on the 53, and they got Gardner through waivers. Yeah, and they went the opposite way, it probably would have been, they probably would have had them both anyway. But that was their decision making.
Yeah, so, they're good at that. I'm going to stick on defense through this whole segment. I promise to our Eagles Nation in chat, we will get to the offense. I don't know if it's going to be as positive over on that side, but we will talk about them. We have a full hour to play here. No guest in hour number one. Bob Rooker is coming up in hour number two. Does great work on NJ.com. I think he's really, really done good since coming back to cover the Eagles last year. He does great work on NJ, and I've been reading all his articles, so good stuff. Bob Brookover will be in hour number two. John, a couple other guys I want to talk about on the defense, and we'll get to each of them. C.J. Gardner-Johnson is one of them. Devin White is one of them. Nolan Smith is one of them. And I guess you could go Zach Bond, because I want to figure out what's going on with him and the linebackers and N'Kobe Dean. Let's start with C.J. Gardner-Johnson. A lot of talk about how vocal he's been out there. He put out a tweet yesterday. I didn't come back to, you know, fit in or whatever. I forget exactly what he said. I'm paraphrasing here. But, you know, I came back to lead. I came back to get this team in the right direction. So what have you seen from C.J. Gardner-Johnson? Is it all good? How has he been out there? How's he fitting with the younger players? And has he taken on more of that vocal leader role?
Well, he's always vocal. He's always been vocal. Yeah, that's not a problem with CJ. The question is, you know, he's very big personality, I would describe it. It's very similar to Slay in that aspect of it. You know, a lot of trash talk. Some people take that the right way. Some people take it the wrong way. So you have to see how it sort of envelops. AJ Brown, great story about Quinyon Mitchell.
That was a great story.
Yeah. Quinyon's the exact opposite of guys like Slay. And he never says anything. He's very quiet to the point that all the guys are looking at him like, you know, what's going on? And out of nowhere, he said, trash route, I guess.
AJ, I mean, that is all route. Time. You don't speak much. You're a rookie, and you say to the $32 million top three wide receiver in the NFL, that route was trash. I love that. I'm sorry. That is old. That is competitive. Anybody who played sports growing up, that's classic trash talk right there. I love it.
Yeah, and that's where it really bombs. And it said that you could tell it took AJ. You're like taken aback almost when they said like. Like it be it, you know, BG's going to come out and talk trash, right? So you're used to it, and it doesn't even really affect you that much. When somebody does it, and then they drop a bomb like that, it's like, whoo. So it was a great story from AJ, but
the quiet assassin, the silent assassin, we'll call him.
Yeah, and CJ's more of the Slay type with the big personality, and he's always talking, always. So, you know, it kind of depends on where he is as far as, but he can play. I know that. I don't know about the leadership aspect, but he's a playmaker. And I think Reed Blankenship might be the most underrated player on the Eagles.
Wow.
That guy just can play, and everybody thinks he can't, I guess because he was undrafted. But he had an interception on Jalen Hurts very early in the practice yesterday. Just, you know, over the middle, short pass to Devontae Smith, snipped it out right there, easy interception. Just has a tremendously high football IQ. So I think that twosome's going to be better than people think. Everybody's still talking about Justin Simmons. I think the Eagles think Reed Blankenship is a starting safety, and I don't think they're coming off that.
Yeah, if they do sign someone, it sounds like it would be more for depth and probably not a Justin Simmons type who's going to want to start.
Yeah, and we'll see. You never say never. I'll leave it open 1-2%, but I've seen nothing very similar. You brought up Zach Bond. That was Vic Fangio's quote about Zach Bond. I've seen nothing that says he can't play off-ball linebacker. I say that about Reed Blankenship. I've seen nothing that say he can't be a starting safety in this league. So he's a guy I think people don't talk enough about. But as far as CJ, and one of the most interesting parts of CJ, for the first time, at least in the practices that were open to us, the reporters, they practice kickoffs, kickoff returns, and the new rules. And basically what they did is had a split returner duo, and whoever caught it, the other one would turn into the up back and be the lead blocker, so to speak. And I bring that up because CJ was taking reps as a kick returner, which surprised me. I didn't see that coming, but obviously he's got the athleticism and speed to do it. So we'll see how that. Now, they rotated a ton of guys, so they're taking a look at a lot of people. But he also took a punt return rep, which is more about emergencies. But yeah, it was a little bit of surprise to see CJ back there, and maybe that's an indication of leadership. And I bring that up because, you know, all throughout the regular season, AJ Brown will take punt return reps, and he's not going to return punts, but you know, he wants to be involved. He wants to help. There's a lot of receivers on that group. So that's a good sign from CJ Gardner Johnson.
Let's move into Devin White. All signs point to him. He had another pretty good practice yesterday. I'll let you clarify whether that's true or not. Also said some good stuff before the practice about wanting to get to the quarterback, wants to show Vic Fangio he can get to the quarterback. Is he shaping up to be a good signing for this team? What did you see from Devin White yesterday in day two of minicamp?
Yeah, I mean, he's had a great spring. And that, you know, but spring ball is made for him.
Yeah, spring ball is spring ball. It doesn't matter that much. But
and, you know, big athletic guy, can run. Nobody ever questioned that. That's the reason he got taken fifth overall when he did. He's maybe the most athletic linebacker the Eagles have had in a very, very long time. So just from that standpoint, I think people are going to be excited, certainly in this type of environment. We have to see. I mean, when the pads come on, we have to see, because that's a big thing at the linebacker position. And when the running game is involved, and all of a sudden, you know, the one thing Kellen Moore loves that he can't do now is play action. And, you know, when play action is involved for the linebackers, it makes things a lot more difficult. And that's where the instincts come in. And that was one of the issues in Tampa, not necessarily being in the right place all the time, maybe overrunning plays, not being that instinctive. So the athleticism standpoint, you can put a period on it. Devin White's great from that standpoint. That's a pads position. You think all football is a pads position, and a lot of it is, but offensive line, defensive line, linebacker, running back, you can't get a full grasp until the pads come on.
Absolutely. Those are physical positions. So we'll see how it shakes out. John, was he wearing the green dot yesterday? I know it might be too early for that.
Yeah, well, there is no green dot. But, yeah, he's in charge of the defense. He's been playing middle linebacker. Now, eventually, I expect, as N'Kobe Dean gets healthier, I expect N'Kobe to go back to being the middle linebacker, and Devin will slide over to the weak side. That's what I think is going to happen. But he has been the middle linebacker with Zach Bond as the those are the guys that have gotten the vast majority of first team reps.
I don't know. I got to be honest. Why would N'Kobe Dean not have to earn that spot?
Well, I do think he has to earn it, but I do think when we talk about, like, the Eagles are very well aware of just what I said about, you know, there is no play action, and that's a big part of Kellen Moore's.
Yeah, right.
And you don't have to worry about, you know, that fake handoff to Saquon Barkley, who's a big threat in running the football, and all of a sudden you got to turn and run with tight ends like Dallas Goedert, and you know, one false step and all of a sudden you got a big gainer down the seam, that type of thing. One thing about N'Kobe Dean, you can criticize him a lot, staying on the field, injury prone, undersized, not the best athlete in the world, a bunch of things you can criticize him about. One thing nobody criticizes him about is his instincts as a player.
And that goes a long way at the linebacker position. I will say that.
Yeah. So I wouldn't close the book on N'Kobe Dean as the middle linebacker on this team, to put it mildly.
I'm not going to close the book, but I will say, from everything I've talked to you about, from everything I've heard, read, and seen, I just don't know. I mean, maybe they'll default to him. Maybe they will. But from what I saw last year, the injury history, Devin White's here now, Zach Bond's playing well. We'll see how it all shakes out.
Well, if he gets hurt again, it takes care of itself, and then Devin's the middle linebacker.
Well, that's stipulated into every football conversation, yeah. I guess, honestly. John, let's talk about a guy who has – I am concerned about. I will be blunt about this. Nolan Smith. Not much reps out there. I'm hearing all this stuff about the young corners, about young players all over this team who are stepping up, who are making plays, even if it's just spring football. I don't care, because that's what we're evaluating right now. Quinyon Mitchell, rookie. Keely Ringo, second-year guy. Now, I know it's a different position, but this is a first-round draft pick. He's not getting any reps in 11-on-11s with the first team. Nolan Smith, he was drafted 31st overall. He's a first-round draft pick. This is year two.
No, but where's he going to – I, you know – we're talking about, and when you have all these reps and they have, and 7-on-7s isn't even really 7-on-7, yeah, because, right, you know, sometimes they have 8, sometimes they have, because they use those hook defenders. Vic uses those hook defenders and he's practicing coverage. So, and sometimes there's not even a real center on the field for the Eagles, but, so they only have 6 on offense, but, but we'll call it 7-on-7s, understanding what it is, and it's a coverage drill. So Nolan has been out there as a drop defender quite a bit, not with the first team, but you have Bryce Huff, you have Josh Sweat, you have Brandon Graham, and those are the guys that have gotten the first team reps. Those are very few, because there's very little team actual 11-on-11 work. So it's not like you're rotating, like the corners get a ton of reps in the spring.
Yeah, but here's the thing too. I mean, BG's 35, but BG has earned his stripes. He's a guy that you don't technically need to see anything from in spring ball. His role is going to be his role when the season comes. You're telling me that they're not even giving Nolan Smith a shot out there? They're not even rotating him in for the few amount of reps they could get.
But there is no, that's what I'm saying. There is no rotation because the reps, we're talking about 5-6 reps. They're never on the field. They're never, they have one 11-on-11 period. And it's, you know, you're also talking about first, second, third team. So you might have 5 reps for the first team. That's it. Yeah. So I mean, could they have gotten him out there? Yes, of course they can get anybody out there. They can get Julian Okwara out there if they want. They can do whatever, and nobody's going to question Vic, as I said. But I wouldn't put too much into it because there's just it's not that time of year, and that's why I don't talk about the defensive line a lot or the offensive line a lot. Because all their improvement is happening off to the side and technique work and all that kind of stuff. There was a 11-on-11, Jalen Carter just blitzed, bowled over Tyler Steen. A lot of people noticed that. Now, Jalen Carter gets off the ball like few ever get off the ball.
Boy, I'm excited about the potential of him.
Yeah, and you know, Tyler wasn't ready for it, and he better start getting ready for it because it's going to come a lot during the summer. But
you know what I love about Jalen Carter, though, John, just real quick? Like, Fletcher Cox was an unbelievable player in Philadelphia. I actually think some people underrated what he did for this team for the duration of time he was here. Fletcher Cox loved a lot of other things as well. Fletcher Cox was a hunter guy, and I'm not knocking him for any of it, right? But he liked his outdoor stuff. He wasn't an eat, sleep, breathe football kind of guy. Every time I listen to Jalen Carter talk, he strikes me as an eat, sleep, breathe football kind of guy. And it looks like he has the talent to be as good or better than Fletcher Cox was for this team. Maybe I'm overstating it at this point. I'm okay with that. But, boy, I am excited for what that guy.
Well, anytime. You know, I think Fletcher's a legitimate Hall of Fame candidate.
Yeah, I do too. Absolutely. One of my all-time favorite Eagles, Fletcher Cox.
A lot of things have to go right for Jalen Carter to have a Fletcher Cox-level career, but I do think he's got more talent, which is frightening, and that's why it's a guy, if he didn't have the off-the-field problem, he would have been the first pick in the draft. He would have been.
He's that good.
And so that's the kind of talent the palette that you're working with as a painter, as a coach, he's different from that standpoint. And he's got a long way to go. Conditioning is a big part of it. But he's tough to block. He is. I don't like to compare anybody to Aaron Donald, but he's the closest thing I've seen to Aaron Donald as far as
talent,
as far as being guys not being able to block him. I mean, the guys just couldn't block Aaron Donald.
Man, this is a young dude still, man. He's going into his second year in the NFL. Where is he going to be year 4 or 5 when his body's acclimated to the level of play?
Well, that's the thing. Does he have I don't know if you've ever seen some of the videos of Aaron Donald and his off the field work. It doesn't come, you're not like that by accident. Is he going to have that kind of work ethic? I don't know. But just from a baseline pure talent of where he started, there are few defensive tackles who have the physical gifts of Jalen Carter.
Beyond excited for him, but I will say, on the other hand, I'm worried about Nolan Smith. Let's get to our first commercial break, Johnny Mac. That was a pretty good breakdown on the defense. I will say, a lot of depth on this defense. It certainly seems the one spot I'm a little worried about, and we talked about it with Nolan Smith, is that defensive line depth. I think they'll add a defensive tackle in there for, you know, to take some reps. Maybe there might be a Calais Campbell or
Calais Campbell. Oh, yeah.
Well, a move similar to the Sue move, right? Remember, that was a big move for the Eagles in 22, bringing in Sue and Linval Joseph. They took a lot of snaps.
Linval was even bigger. Yeah.
Yeah. They were big contributors to the team. So,
but I'm remember, that was injury related late in the season. If you're bringing in Calais is like 37th He could still play though. If you're bringing in him,
move like that,
if you're bringing in him, you're basically saying, go take a seat, Milton. And I don't know where they are with Milton Williams. That's an interesting player because that's a guy I think they would have worked to extend. And they haven't. Now that could be Milton Williams just saying, I'm going to bet on myself and make a lot of money because he knows he's going to get an opportunity to play with Fletcher Cox gone. And actually, Fletcher was there yesterday. Not gone, but he was watching practice.
Yeah, it's cool.
But, you know, if you sign Calais Campbell, you're basically saying, all right, you know, Milton's gone. You're not going to be here next year. And I don't know where they are with Milton Williams. I wish I could tell you. I'll try to find that out because I think he's a good player. I'm not sure if the Eagles are on the same page there.
Yeah, I like Milton Williams. I think he's going to be a good player. But I do wonder about just the business of the NFL where you got two young defensive first-round defensive tackles. You know, they might not sign Milton Williams. They might go with a new third-round pick or something to fill those shoes. So we'll see how it all plays out. Let's get to our first commercial break. Before we do that, I want to thank everybody for being in here in the chat. Cody, Suplex, SMD, Eagles, Cali, baby. All you guys have been tremendous all week long. I always love reading all your guys' chats. Sometimes you guys bring great intel to the show, and I do appreciate that as always. So thank you guys for being here. Make sure you hit the like for us, as it's the best thing you can do to help grow the show, help grow the channel. Make sure you're subscribed to Jacob Sports. I do appreciate each and every one of you. So thank you for being here. Let's get to our commercial break. Coming up on the other side, we're going to talk offense. I don't know if it will be as good or as pretty as the defensive talk was with everybody stepping up on defense, but we will do it. Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley. Let's talk about it all coming up next on Birds 365.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.